crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? And Jesus replied, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind, and if one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. And then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Don't you understand yet, Jesus asked? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. Wash your hands. Have you heard that lately? Wash your hands. Wash them often. At least 20 seconds. You know, we've heard a lot about washing hands since COVID-19. But even before that, you heard wash your hands, didn't you? Especially as a child, you come in to eat, go wash your hands. Wash your hands. You know, there's something to be said about clean hands. But the Pharisees' tradition demanded the washing of hands. You know, they didn't have running water. So there was a particular method that you had to wash your hands, or you hadn't washed your hands. You didn't just take a bowl of water and wash your hands, because then the water would be dirty, and then your hands would still be dirty. And especially the last person who washed their hands in that bowl of water, they'd really be dirty. You know, it reminded me of taking baths on a wash tub. You know, you didn't dump the water every time, you just progression. How clean was the last person in the tub, you know? The Pharisees said there's a particular way you've got to wash your hands, and really that particular way really resembles how doctors wash their hands before surgery now. You just ran water over them and let it fall off. And so someone would take a pitcher of water and pour it over your hands, and that's how you would wash your hands, and that way the water would wash away the impurities and your hands would be clean and you'd be ready to eat. You see, if you didn't wash your hands this way, then your hands were still not clean. And so therefore the food you touched would not be clean, and therefore you would defile yourself by not washing properly. And in this, what we're discovering just before this passage of scriptures, the disciples were eating without washing their hands. The other indication, they didn't even do it a wrong way. They just didn't. And so the Pharisees confronted Jesus because they were disobeying their traditions. And Jesus' response was, he confronted them for breaking the Ten Commandments, for breaking God's law. You see, they had this tradition that if you took everything you owned and you dedicated it to God, then when your parents were in need in their old age and you were honored to take care of them by the law, you couldn't do it because you had dedicated everything to God. And the Pharisees did that, and they encouraged people to do that. And the truth, the thing was, they weren't keeping the commandment. And so Jesus brings it to them. He's letting them know there is a moral righteousness and a ritual purity, and moral righteousness is more important than ritual purity. And what he comes down and lets us really know, it's an internal issue. You see, Jesus' words offended the Pharisees, and the disciples were concerned about that. They went and told Jesus, Jesus, what you said offended them. You know, it's like the disciples were worried. They were wearing out their welcome, that they weren't going to be able to stay there very much longer because Jesus was making the Pharisees mad and things weren't going to go good. And here's the deal. Of course what Jesus said offended the Pharisees, because it cut to the heart of what they believed and understood about religion. It was about their traditions. And the truth is, people today are offended by the word. Paul tells us that they are either offended by the word of God, or they think it's foolishness. It just depends on their frame of mind. But when you present the gospel, and it goes against what they believe, it will offend them. And oftentimes, probably just call old-fashioned convictions. But God's dealing with their heart because they have been confronted with the truth. And if they would accept the truth, their life would be changed. Because, you know, it's important for us to share the gospel. But, you know, it's important for us to share the gospel and not necessarily our tradition. We need to be sure that what we share is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because what we discover here is Jesus rejected the Pharisees who thought themselves to be the religious leaders of the people. Jesus rejected them as the religious leaders of the people. He rejected them as leaders anywhere. In fact, Jesus said, God didn't even plant them. Now, that takes us back to the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And where the farmer went out and sowed his seed, and then his adversary came and sowed in other seed, and sowed in weeds, and the wheat and the weeds all came up together. Jesus has just called the Pharisees weeds. God didn't plant them. In fact, he was saying they don't even know the truth. They're blind to it. And if a blind person tries to guide someone else who doesn't know the truth, they're both just going to fall in the ditch. The blind can't lead the blind, and they'll fall in a ditch. And so Jesus looks at his disciples and he just says, forget the Pharisees. Ignore them. Because they don't know the truth. You see, we're to follow the truth. And Jesus tells them and he instructs them to listen. Now there are three things wrapped up in this one little word, listen, here. Of course, the first thing is to listen, to hear. You know, Jesus said, he who has ears, let them hear. So the first thing is we need to hear the truth. But the second part of this listening part is we are to understand the truth. We are to learn it. We are to know it. We are to grasp it. We are to grasp what it means. We are to discover truth. You know, just because someone said it doesn't make it true. When I was going to school at Bethany, I worked with a Baptist ministerial student. And he goes, when I preach, he didn't bend the truth, but he says, I preach in such a way to make people question. Because I don't want them taking my word for it. I want them to go home and dig. I want them to discover whether what I said was true or not. I want them to prove me true or prove me wrong. And you know, really in our lives, that's what we need to do. You know, we live in a society right now that looks at Facebook and thinks if it's there, it's true. If it's on the internet, it's true. And there's no searching it out to find out if what was posted there, if it was true. And so there's a lot of falsehoods floating around. We need to search out the truth. Just because someone said it doesn't make it true. Just because I say it doesn't make it true. Search out the scriptures. Discover the truth. Understand it. You see, the Pharisees had their traditions that were not true. They were not true to the Word of God. And you know, that's not to say traditions are bad. Traditions are good. We have our traditions. Traditions, in and of themselves, are good until they get in the way of hearing and understanding the truth. And then they're not good anymore. And the third thing is, we not only hear and understand, but then we have to obey what we've come to understand. We're to live out what we understand to be the truth. And what we discover in the verse of Scripture this morning is the disciples had a hard time understanding. Peter came and said, explain the parable to us. Explain the parable to us. And Jesus, you don't understand yet? You see, for them, the tradition of washing hands made sense. Even though they didn't do it that day, it made sense. The book of Leviticus has a lot to say about cleanliness. And they followed that book. And so, you know, in their mind, was Jesus doing away with what they had been taught all their lives? And the thing is, Jesus wasn't doing away with what they had been taught. But Jesus wanted them to hear and to understand and obey the truth. That it's not all wrapped up in tradition. You see, it's internal, not external. Let's look at verses 11. Let's read those again. It says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your heart or out of your mouth. Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then it goes into the sewer. It's going on through. But the words you speak come from the heart. The words you speak come from what's within you. That's what defiles you. For from the heart comes evil thoughts of murder and adultery and all sexual immorality and theft and lying and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. You see, the issue is internal versus external. The issue is the truth of God's word versus our traditions. The Pharisees were concerned with their traditions. You don't wash your hands and you eat, then you are unclean. In other words, you have sinned because you didn't wash your hands. You are out of favor with God. And you know, as important as personal hygiene is, it doesn't make you a saint, and it doesn't make you a sinner. Personal hygiene is not going to bring you into favor with God. It's just not going to do it. You know, sometimes we fall into that same traditional trap with concerns of what we see and what we do. We fall into the trap. You see, it's easier to follow a religion of tradition. To not eat some foods and to worship before eating. To come to worship. To sing our songs. To teach a class. To give a tithe. And, you know, at least 10% of our income. Traditions. It's easier to do all the right stuff, thinking everything is okay, than it is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, to love the unlovely, to love the unlovable, and to love them so much that we give of our time and our money and our comfort and our pleasure to help them. Let's face it, it's easier to follow tradition. But what God wants us to know is, tradition's not it, it's a heart issue. It's a love issue. You see, if our heart is right with God, we're going to do all those other things. We're going to worship and we're going to teach, except we're going to find our worship to be much more meaningful. Our songs are going to be much more meaningful to us and to God and to other people. We can teach better. And our giving is not going to be gauged by an outside standard of 10% of our income. Our giving is going to be gauged by what we determine is an appropriate response to our love for God and to others. That will gauge our giving. But let's face it, we struggle with externals and internals issues today. One man has wrote this. He said, tradition is something external, while God's truth is internal, in the heart. People obey tradition to please men and gain status. But we obey the word to please God. Tradition deals with ritual, while God's truth deals with reality. Tradition brings empty words to the lips, but truth penetrates the heart and changes the life. Actually, tradition robs a person of the power of the word of God. You see, it's not external. It's not the external that matters. You know, what you look like, what you dress like, what you act like, how you speak. All of this is just a sign of what's inside. It's just a sign of what's in the heart. Because all of those things come out of what is in your heart. It is a matter of internal things. It's a heart matter. You see, the heart is the source of your true character. If it's pure or impure, it's going to be found in the heart. See, the heart is more than just a seat of emotion. The heart is who you really are. The heart is what makes you tick. You know, you can put on a show. You can put on a facade, and most of the time, you'll get it right. But in the heat of the moment, the real you will come out. You know, we hear a lot today of people saying something racial or sexist, and they call it a slip of the tongue. And almost inevitably, in their response and in their apology, they say, "That's not who I am." Have you noticed that? They get in trouble and they apologize. And they go, "That's not who I am." But the truth is, that is who they are. Because what they spoke came from the heart. In the heat of the moment, they spoke it. It came from the heart. You see, if it's not in the heart, it's not going to come out. It's not going to be there. You know, the truth is, we see what others want us to see. I really see, on a normal day, I see in you what you want me to see. You see in me what I want you to see. That's just the way we are. And we can fool people. We can do that. Pastor in this district, and he's gone to another, who by all indications was a very godly man. And 2 weeks ago, he was arrested for child pornography. We see what people want us to see. We can put up the front. But folks, God knows the heart. All we can see is the outside, but God looks at the heart, and God knows what's in the heart. And eventually what's in the heart will come out. And so often we work on the outside to make it appealing to others. But we don't work on the heart. We don't deal with the heart issues. And you see, the heart is where the issue is. We should be more concerned about what lies behind the acts and the words than we are about the acts and the words. What lies behind them? Where do they come from? You know, we should be sorry when we do or say something wrong, but we should be more concerned about it being in our hearts in the first place and how it shouldn't be there. Because there is an attitude there that needs to be cleansed and removed from the heart so that it's not there. Jesus' words here suggest the view of original sin or the carnal nature. It's a heart issue. It's a sin in the heart that is there because of the fall of Adam and Eve. It's not anything we did that put it there. It's there just because we were born human. A sinful nature that bends towards sinning. And from this sinful heart comes evil. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Doesn't this sound familiar? You ever read that anywhere else other than here in Matthew chapter 15? You have. You see, that list is the second tablet of the Ten Commandments. The second tablet of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not just external rules to keep like so many people think they are today. They are about heart issues. They are about how we treat and love each other. A heart issue. And until the sin issue of the heart is taken care of, you will find what Jesus calls defilement and uncleanness coming from you. It's not because of your environment. It's just what one is without the grace of God cleansing him and changing his heart. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for washing the outside of cups and dishes, but not the inside. In other words, here again, he was offending the Pharisees. He was comparing them to cups and dishes. And in verse 26, he said, "You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." You see, we've got to take care of the heart first. See, you can eat all kinds of nasty food, nasty hands. You ever watched a reality show on TV where food was involved? Nasty hands and nasty food. You can eat all the nasty food with nasty hands you want, and you may get heartburn, and you may have an upset stomach, you may even get diarrhea with a little bit of botulism, but it will soon pass on through and you're going to be okay. It's not what goes in. But with a sinful nature in your heart, it will wreak havoc on your life as long as it is there. It will be there until you ask Jesus to cleanse your heart from that nature, creating in you a new heart. You see, really what Jesus was getting to in all of this is God wants us to give Him our heart. He wants our heart. You see, God doesn't want lip service. God doesn't want us being whitewashed fences. God doesn't want us pretending to be something we're not. God doesn't want us doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. God is not so much concerned with what we say or do as He is with the condition of our heart. Because if our heart is right, what we say and do will be right. You see, what's going on the outside is just what is happening in the heart, from the inside. A godly Christian, Christ-like life begins in the heart. You see, with your heart you believe. Paul wrote to the Roman church, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in Him, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Your relationship with God begins in your heart. It is with your heart that you love. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. That is the first thing on the list. With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It is from your heart that you will sing praises to God that are genuine. It is from your heart that you obey, that you listen, that you understand. It is from your heart that you give. Paul told the Corinthian church, you must decide in your heart how much to give. You see, the truth is that every one of us, we need to pray the prayer of David in Psalms 51 and 10, when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. So what's your heart like? What's your heart like? And you know, to illustrate this whole principle, this whole truth, the next miracle that we find right after this deals with the Gentile woman, the Canaanite woman, who had a daughter possessed by an evil spirit. And if you remember the story, she comes to Jesus for Him to cast the spirit out, and Jesus at first doesn't listen to her. He doesn't pay any attention to her. And then He finally comes down and He says it's not right to give the food of the children to the dogs. Remember that? But do you remember what she said to Jesus? You see, this Gentile woman, this Canaanite woman, said, Son of David. That is Messiah. Lord. You see, the Jews thought she was a dog. That she wasn't worthy. But yet, in her heart, she acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Lord, the Son of God. It's a heart issue. You see, what people believe doesn't matter. What people believe about you doesn't matter. It's a matter of the heart and what God knows about you. What is your heart like? And you see, there's only two that can answer that question. One is God, and the other is you. What is your heart like? God wants it to be pure and holy. God wants it to be His. What's it like? Dear God, this morning, we come to you. Dear God, we have to confess that oftentimes we're just looking at externals. We want to make make sure we have it right outside. When really, if we would be more concerned about the inside, about the condition of our heart, we wouldn't have to worry about the external. Because from our heart would come all the holiness and goodness of your presence. And so, dear God, this morning we just ask that you would search our hearts today. Search our hearts. And dear God, as we offer ourselves to you today, would you give us a clean heart? Dear God, would you cleanse out the original sin? Would you cleanse out that bend toward sinning and doing things that doesn't please you? And dear God, would you fill that void with your presence, with your holiness, with your love? Dear God, today give us a clean heart. And everything we say and everything we do, we represent you in this world in which we live. Cleanse our heart today, dear God. And we give you praise and honor and glory. For you are our God. And our desire is to serve you, living our life in a Christ-like manner that not only pleases you, but it draws others to you. Dear God, thank you for taking care of our hearts as we do. We pray these things in your holy name.